Hi folks, Canadian Prepper here. This information is so important, we're not going into the studio, we're just doing it from the car. I'm going to give you my in-depth analysis of what has been transpiring around the world in the last 48 hours, and you are not going to hear this information anywhere else. You'll probably hear it in a few days when it becomes mainstream. Now, let's just break it all down. First, I want to say that doesn't life really imitate art? The movie Don't Look Up is starting to take on a whole new purpose, isn't it? Doesn't this have that boy stuck in a well vibe to it? Doesn't this have that vibe that the media is trying to etch something into our flashbulb memories? If you don't know what a flashbulb memory is, it's what's created when there's like a collective trauma, okay? You probably all remember where you were during the trade centers coming down, or when Princess Diana died and they were screaming about that on every single media agency in unison for days and days on end. Well, that is what is required to etch into the minds of the masses a flashbulb memory, a pivotal moment, a juncture at the breakdown of relations between the Chinese and the Americans. This is going to delineate where the Cold War between China and US officially begins. When they go back through the history books, the balloon incident will be a notable incident. So you can bet that they are going to play this up. And there is a reason why any news agency you go on today is talking about this balloon. They could have easily made this a footnote on the last page of the newspapers, but no, instead they are blasting it for the airwaves. You got the U.S. Secretary of Defense coming out and giving statements about it and saying, well, if you want to find the balloon, then you go find it yourself. I mean, statements like this are meant to be intentionally provocative. They're trying to politicize this. You have people who are really getting trigger happy, politicizing the issue, saying, shoot it down, shoot it down, shoot it down. Well, the fact is you want to try to collect information from this thing as much as you can. You don't just want to blow it out of the sky. That's not the intelligent thing to do. The intelligent thing to do is to capture it. And I think that is exactly what they are trying to do. Now, whether this is a nothing burger or not, the fact is that they are trying to get people fixated on it for a reason, okay? Because the war with China is coming. And also to take attention away from the fact that the Russians are now encircling the linchpin of the Ukrainian Eastern Front, that is Bakhmut, and they are ready to heat up the cauldron, as they say in military speak. So that means we could very well start to see the rapid breakdown of the Ukrainian Eastern Front. And of course, we have the Russian offensive, which is impending. The U.S. has given Ukraine the green light to use long-range missiles. People don't realize how important this is. The tanks have really overshadowed this. And I'm starting to see the sleight of hand that has taken place in that the tanks are what everybody's fixated on. But as we've been saying, it's the long-range missiles that are really going to be problematic in terms of escalating this war to the nuclear level. Ukrainians are being gifted the smart bombs as well as longer-range HIMARS missiles that I believe can go 150 kilometers. This is going to make the coming Russian offensive far more problematic and risk the possibility of this conflict escalating. We might well see the Russians resort to using some sort of balloon-carried EMP high-altitude nuclear device to take out everything, every electronic device within a few hundred miles of Kiev. I mean, this is, we're at that point where this could be a possibility. There are several other data points of escalation that we need to talk about, okay? So please stick with me, my friends. I guarantee you are not going to hear this stuff anywhere else, guys. Yesterday, I released some information about how the Chinese had been working on a balloon project that can carry a 1.2 ton payload, and that this is likely what a lot of the concern is about. I posted a link in that video I did yesterday that talked about how they could potentially be deploying very large weapons, and that is definitely a point of concern. Are the Chinese sending a message? My gut feeling is that this information gathered from this balloon is not that significant, but the Chinese were potentially testing the waters to see how far they could make it in and potentially, yes, sending a message. If this was a weather balloon that just went awry, went off course, and it was force majeure, as they say, then why did they not notify the American government in anticipation of the Americans finding out about it. So I don't buy that story. It almost appears like they wanted to see how far they could penetrate North American air defense before being detected. Okay, now the tricky part is, however, is were the Americans quiet about their own detection? So there's a lot of subterfuge and misdirection that could be potentially afoot. So don't just jump to conclusions and say, they got to shoot it down. Don't jump to conclusions. Everybody's a balloon expert all of a sudden. I'm not a balloon expert or an airship expert or whatever you want to call this, but we need to just kind of keep our heads calm and wonder what the other hand is doing. And the other hand is busy in Ukraine right now. The U.S. has this group of former military officers who's planning on sending contractors to Ukraine for the purpose of repairing weapons damage during combat. They're talking about sending 200 contractors, meaning 2,000, okay? They're going to give this base number, but they've already have inspectors on the ground. There's already U.S. troops on the ground. Now they want to send contractors, retired ex-military. And this is how they're going to circumvent engaging in the Russians directly. This is why they deemed the Wagner group, who is a private contracting group who fights on behalf of the Russian Federation, this is why they deemed them a state sponsor of terrorism and not the Chechens and not the Russians themselves. Because, of course, that would be an unofficial declaration of war, and that would definitely ratchet up the DEFCON level to uncomfortable levels that even the most hawkish neocons are not comfortable with. Okay, so the whole idea right now is that we're going to send in these 200 contractors to repair tanks, because the problem that they're having right now with all these tanks that are sending, and the tanks are already arriving, the Leopard tanks, that is, Germany has officially declared they are sending 88, and many other countries are sending dozens, so the number is going to be in the hundreds of tanks. And Ukraine, it should be noted, already has 1,000 tanks, I believe, in reserve or something to that effect. Nobody talks about that, but it's really not about the tanks anyways. It's about the long-range missiles. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the 200 contractors are very critical, because in order to repair these tanks, they require a lot of maintenance. They have to keep sending them back to Poland. That's a huge logistical chain. Those are supply lines that could be cut, that could be taken out by Russian bombardments. So in order to expedite the process and to make it more efficient, they got to get these contractors on the ground. This means that you're going to have even more American bodies close to the battle zone. And of course, they're not going to be in U.S. military insignia. They are going to be in a private contractor insignia. Okay, so I'm not sure how much these guys are getting paid, but I'm sure it must be a lot to put yourself in that sort of precarious situation. There is a possibility that thousands of non-American mechanics qualified to work on U.S. and NATO equipment would also be recruited, according to this report by Politico. Okay, so they're going to send contractors. Everything you hear me say on this channel, we've been saying for the longest time, they're going to send tanks, they're going to send long-range missiles, they're going to send planes, they're going to do it all. And this is the reason why Moscow is installing air defense. Understand what is happening. It's happening at a much slower pace. We live in the TikTok generation. Everybody thinks these things are supposed to unfold in 24 hours. Oh, nuclear war didn't happen last March, therefore it's never going to happen. Get that out of your mind, okay? We need to be prepared for the long run. This balloon incident, whether it's contrived or not, is sending a clear signal to people who are paying attention that we are now also at war with the Chinese. I stitched it all together for you in a video I released 3 days ago, where I went on the map and I showed the relationship between the conflict in the Middle East, which is heating up, the conflict in Ukraine, the Koreas, and the Taiwan Strait. It's all starting to ratchet up. The U.S. is building military bases in the Philippines, and now Blinken has just canceled this trip to China because of these surveillance balloons. So if anybody is still on the fence about what is coming and how they're going to get us out of the coming economic implosion, this is how. It's called a war economy. And all we can hope is that it doesn't escalate to the nuclear level, which it very well could. Guys, these are very, very tumultuous times, and you gotta be prepared. That doesn't mean live in fear. That doesn't mean don't enjoy your life. You know what? I spent 45 minutes arguing with ChatGPT about whether or not it was conscious and hiding in the machine last night. Yeah, I mean, you know, I waste time too, but I try to make sure that it's something semi-productive. And I got a video coming out about that, because let's just say it was an unnerving conversation, to say the least. And the fact is, that's the diluted version of the artificial intelligence that's out there. Google has something which is probably at several orders of magnitude more powerful. And that is absolutely terrifying. Anyways, the Pentagon has allowed Ukraine, basically giving them the green light to fire long-range missiles at will. They are still of this belief that they are going to take back Crimea. Russia has blatantly said that if you take Crimea, we will view that as an existential threat and we will use nuclear weapons. Period. Point blank. What they will likely do is detonate a high-altitude EMP weapon. I've heard many people who are very knowledgeable of these issues say that we will not respond with nuclear weapons if Russia uses nuclear weapons in Ukraine, but that NATO will respond in some capacity, which of course has the potential to escalate to a tit-for-tat nuclear escalatory chain. So, it is up to the government in Kiev to decide how to use the new rockets for the U.S.-supplied HIMARS launchers, the Pentagon said on Friday. So get ready, guys. There is a reason why right now the Russians are deploying S-300 within 50 kilometers of the Latvian border. The Russians are preparing for war with NATO. I'm not being sensationalist at all. If you think I'm being sensationalist while they're installing air defense on every other building in Moscow, additional air defense, they already have an integrated air defense that surrounds the city and some of the deepest bunkers on Earth. But if you think I'm being alarmist and sensationalist, that's just fine. We'll see what you think about that in the next few months ahead. I just hope that you are still a closet prepper, because you don't want to be a burden on your neighbors and your family who are preparing. Unfortunately, there was a story floating around that I, for a minute, thought maybe this is a sign that the tensions are de-escalating a little bit, and maybe this is a prospect for peace. But apparently it's been blasted as a canard by the Kremlin that the U.S. allegedly offered to cede 20% of Ukraine's territory. If you've been keeping up and watching our daily updates, we talked the other day about how supposedly William Burns, the CIA director, had tried to broker a deal with Peskov of the Russians, their counterpart, in order to give the Russians 20% of the territory if they would sign some sort of peace agreement. Basically, the territory they have captured would be kept, and they claim that the Russians rejected the offer, as did the Ukrainians. Of course, Ukrainians are never going to accept that offer. But now the Russians are basically saying that that was patently false. According to Dmitry Peskov, the alleged U.S. plan involving territorial concessions from Ukraine in exchange for peace are just plain false. Never happened. So that's unfortunate. I got a message from somebody in Latvia, okay, an email from somebody in Latvia. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but they've provided me very, very good information in the past, so I'll just read part of this email. I wrote you some time ago, and I want you to tell you more about the situation in Latvia. It's been a strange couple of days. Military equipment has arrived in our capital. They say it's Operation Atlantic Resolve. This is the operation which was kicked off in response, of course, to the Russian invasion by NATO. I do not know what it means. We live in a rural area and we hear a lot of airplanes. There are definitely a lot of military planes. The situation in Latvia is not particularly good. Inflation is 20%. War propaganda is unbearable. 90% of the population of Latvia don't believe or refuse to believe in the possibility of war. And this is absolutely important, because this is the same normalcy bias that was pervasive with the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainian government played off of this. Okay, they exploited this before the war. We've talked about this numerous times. In fact, we made a video called The Normalcy Bias 2 weeks before the war started, because we anticipated that that was going to be the case. Of course, the Ukrainian government wanted to ensure that their military could operate unimpeded, so they didn't want to generate panic. So they lied to the population and said, yeah, there's not going to be a war. Don't worry. Don't listen to those Americans, right? Now, of course, they're saying the exact opposite. This guy says, hatred against Russians is growing. There are a lot of Russians in Latvia since the times of the USSR. Most aren't Russians. They're Belarusians, Ukrainian Cossacks, but they think they are Russians, and most of them support Putin. Okay, I don't know. He's making a bit of a judgment there, but let's just hear what he has to say. Many of them live near the Russian border. In the event of an invasion, there will be many supporters. So there could potentially be some internal civil conflict there. And don't second guess yourself. The Russians are definitely actively trying to generate unrest in these countries. Now, he goes on to give things which are a lot more opinionative, but I'm not going to read the rest of it. But basically, it's not looking good, guys. So the Baltic states, anybody who's paying attention, you better have a bug-out plan. Okay, the Russia military has deployed S-300 air defense within 50 miles, sorry, not kilometers, of the border with Latvia. These are interceptor missiles. They can be used for surface-to-surface purposes, so they can be used offensively, but they are typically renowned as one of the better air defense systems in the world, and that's why we don't see a lot of planes flying around Ukraine, at least not as many as you would think, in a modern high-intensity peer-to-peer conflict, because both sides have S-300 and S-400 systems. Well, the Ukrainians don't have S-400, but it's a testament, if anything. A lot of people make fun of the fact that the Russians are doing so bad. Well, they're fighting themselves, okay? It's like fighting your own military. So the reason why they're getting planes shot down is because the Ukrainians are using the equipment, or have been up until this point, the equipment that the Russians created, and the Ukrainians, because it was the Soviet Union a long time ago. Now, let's talk a bit about the financial stuff. People are getting spooked by the price of gold plummeting yesterday, and do not worry about that, okay? The dollar went up drastically, almost a one-to-one relationship. The same, the US dollar index, I believe, went up 1.5%. The price of gold went down 2.75%, but it's redundant. In the last 3 months, the US dollar is down 8%, and the price of gold is up 12%. So, guys, it's just lagging indicators. Disregard. The price of gold is meaningless because it's measured in dollars, which, of course, fluctuate. And because the dollar is such an artificial creation on the basis of fiat and foreign-held, what do they call them, foreign-held dollar-denominated assets or whatever, it's an artifice. So gold is gold. And get a load of this, okay? Russians bought more than 50 tons of gold in 22. The average is 6 to 7 tons. That's just Russians. That's not the Russian government. That's not the central banks, who are at a 55-year record high buying spree for gold. So just see it as a buying opportunity. Whenever that price of gold dips, it's a buying opportunity, because the dollars that you already have in the bank have increased in value relative to other currencies in the world, and how the whole phony baloney system works. So that's a time to capitalize. And we should probably do a video about storing precious metals at some point. I don't store any precious metals at my home. I cash everything. Okay, just FYI, if you are dealing in large amounts of precious metals, we'll talk about the security aspects of things in another video. But if you want to preserve your wealth, and I shouldn't give you any financial advice, because there's going to be these perturbations over the next couple years that very well could see wild swings in equities and people FOMOing into the market. Anyways, other news that is happening while the right hand is doing something else is that the European Union is about to set the price cap for Russian oil at, get this, $45. Guys, get ready for the price of oil to spike massively. And this is before the conflict breaks out in the Middle East, which is, I'm guessing, it's just months away before Israel attempts something in Iran and we go to war on that front as well. They're also putting a $100 barrel for diesel tariff, or sorry, a price cap for that. So prior to this, 2 months ago, the original price cap was $60 for seaborne crude oil. Now it's going to be $45. So basically, the Russians are going to be like, F you, this is never going to happen. Maybe it's because they anticipate a price drop. Who knows what's really going on? There's a lot of market cornering that goes on with oil and market manipulation, but it's hard to say because, of course, OPEC plays such a pivotal role in that, and the EU, it does not. So I don't know exactly. I guess they're still riding on the coattails of the fact that we haven't had winter in Europe. So, or it's been a very, very, very mild winter in Europe, okay? And can't say the same about what's happening in the Northeast, where they're seeing -100, wind chill factor, because there's 127 mile an hour wind gust paired with -46 Fahrenheit. You guys use that silly Fahrenheit system down there. Celsius, man. Water boils at 100 degrees. It freezes at 0 degrees. I mean, why do you guys make things so hard on yourself? Anyway, I'm just bugging you guys. -46 degree Fahrenheit with 127 mile per hour wind equals -100 degree wind chill. Guys, that is not normal. But there's going to be some people who say, oh, it's just back in my day. Anyways, let's see what happens. Let's just all watch the world burn together from the comfort of our little nook of the internet. So, Kiev has said that Moscow is now a legitimate military target. Kiev will not guarantee the non-use of Western military equipment targets in Russia. Well, what a great time for the Americans to say, we don't care what you do with these long-range missiles. Feel free to get us into a nuclear war. We don't care. Yeah. And Putin has basically made the decision that the complete and utter defeat of the armed forces of Ukraine is the goal of the war. The complete destruction of the armed forces of Ukraine. There is no trust anymore. So guys, it's all crashing down. It's all coming true, just not in the time frame that a lot of people might have expected. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and stay tuned because we got a lot of really interesting content coming your way. It's going to be a mishmash of content. I mean, it's going to be the most schizophrenic mishmash of content because we're going to be putting up bushcraft videos, gear review videos, videos with very provocative minds, the likes of Gerald Celente. We got our NASA engineer friend coming on. We got some people talking about how radiation works and just a ton of different information, all preparedness related. Because remember, if you guys are coming from our gear review videos, you need to understand that one piece of gear that is of critical importance when you're preparing for the collapse of society is information. It is not just some abstract thing. It's a material thing. Information is material. And I'm not saying I'm the sole purveyor of truth. I would encourage you to go fact check, cross-reference everything I say. But I do appreciate you sticking with me for this 22 minutes and 47 seconds today. So you guys take care. And please go check out our World War III Bug Out Bag Survival Gear video. We got more coming like that very soon. Thanks for watching, guys. Take care. Canadian Prepper out.